To Alofa Lava.
Maloa Lele.
I'm Adri.
And I am Hufo.
And
welcome to the Speak On It podcast.
On today's episode, we will be talking about the direct impacts of waste management. We are joined today by a very special guest, our friend Bainivalu Davetsewalu, otherwise known as Bai. Bai, if you could please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so my name is Bainivalu Davetsewalu, but everyone who knows me calls me Bai. I am originally from the islands of Fiji, from the provinces of Lao and Tailevu, but I was born and raised in the beautiful island territory of American Samoa.
Period.
Specifically in the village of Nu'uli. Right. I had to put that one out there. Okay. Right. I am currently attending City College of San Francisco. I am a geography and environmental studies major, and my current occupation right now, just a college student with part-time jobs. I'm a student mentor at a school. I work for a student supporting student space center. It's basically just a resource hub and a cool hangout spot for students on campus to come chill out, like find community. Another occupation of mine, I work at the Chase Center as a retail associate. So,
period.
Thank you. And my plans for the future, I want to delve into the world of GIS, so geographic information systems, specifically to be an analyst. That world is basically map creating, and I take a lot of inspiration from our ancestors being the original map navigators, mm-hmm. using the constellations, right. Speak on it, right. And I'm sort of using GIS as like a modern connection to our ancestors' way of navigating. So, right. Thank you. And I'm so excited, y'all. I'm a bit nervous right now, but.
Absolutely. Thank you once again for being here. We want to hold this space as a way to uplift Pacifica Tay conversations and be intentional about creating opportunities to just chop it up about our experiences.
Okay, moving forward, we're going to ground ourselves with a check-in question. So the check-in question for today is, if you could create a superhero with the power to reduce waste, what would their superhero name be? And what would their costume look like?
Oh my gosh. If I were to create a name for my superhero, reducing waste.
No wrong answers.
It's okay, because I'm still thinking of mine.
Oh my gosh, okay. The first thing that comes to my mind, I'm just Reduce-Sance.
Ooh!
Reduce-Sance. And I'm only saying that because Beyonce was the first thing that came to my mind for some reason.
Okay.
Right. And if my superhero were to have a costume, it would probably be something with, like, nature and, like, the leaves, using some sort of aspect with the forest or something like that. Mm. Really tapping into that non-waste, that natural material.
Mm. Absolutely.
Earth-made instead of man-made. Right.
Right.
Right. Speak on it.
Spoke. Well, that's very hard to follow because my answer is not as great. My superhero would be waste-reducing woman, something like that.
Right.
Okay, but not too much. As for her costume, I imagine, like, upcycled material, repurposing it to look like, you know, a cape. Just because she's recycling the materials don't mean she gotta look like it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm.
So she could give, like, fashion, but also let's save the planet.
Right. Mm. Trashy but classy.
Yes!
Exactly
that. Wow. Right. And that's her motto.
Oh, exactly.
Right. And for you, Hifo?
I feel like I'm stealing the name, but I like it. So in Greek mythology, there's a goddess. this is good. There's a goddess named Gaia. Yes. So I'd probably adopt that name and then kind of have the costume to be like Jessica Rabbit's dress, but green with lines like poison ivy. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Wow. That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, that's all I could make up with.
Gaia, is it like Mother Earth? Is
yes.
Okay. Because in my language, there's a bad word that sounds very similar. Very
We're not going to.
So when you said it, I said,
No. With a G-A-I-A.
It doesn't it mean like sort of waste in a way?
Yeah.
The bad word? So
you know what? You're so right.
Right.
Wait, speaking of waste, I'm interested to know what is the word for, like, trash in your languages?
For Tongan, it's veve. Mm. Or, like, trash can is, like, kapa veve.
And for you, Bai?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so embarrassed right now. I can't really pinpoint the Fijian word for it. But for the Samoan word, I know it's lapisi.
Yeah. In English, it's trash.
Right.
In Spanish, I don't speak Spanish, but I took it. It's basura.
Basura.
It just sounds beautiful, though.
That sounds so beautiful.
Ooh, if she was a Latin superhero, basura.
Oh, my gosh. Wait.
It's time for the tell me something good portion of our podcast, where we are sharing positive pieces of waste management. I feel like when I think of waste management in terms of the city of San Francisco, there have been a lot of efforts to reduce the waste that we produce. That was a tongue twister. But a lot of initiatives that come from city officials, like the zero emission campaign. Don't quote me on that.
Tell me more, because...
Yeah, so after doing a little research, in 2009, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors had passed an ordinance that made it mandatory for residents to separate their trash.
Oh, okay.
So, like, recyclables, compostables, and landfill trash, a.k.a. the blue bin, the green bin, the black bin.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just feel like that is such a positive step in the right direction. I don't know how good folks are about doing that, but I think the effort on behalf of, like, city governments is there.
Yeah, I feel like it was a good effort because I'm remembering when that was passed, even though I was pretty young, but I remember my mom talking about it back then. And ever since then, like, my parents have been really good with separating their trash, which I feel like I've adopted to in my household. So I feel like it had, like, a good impact, yeah.
Right.
And for you, Bai?
Yeah, I think when I first came to San Francisco, seeing, like, the whole the three bin...
Mechanism,
thank you. The three bin mechanism was such a culture shock for me. Back in Samoa, we just had one big trash can that, like, people dumped everything into. And so, like, there were a couple of big bins around each village, and, like, you would just see mounds of trash in there that would sometimes be, like, overspilling. Since there were only, like, limited trash bins around the island, like, people would come, like, drive their trash to that trash can and just dump everything in there. And I sort of, like, now looking back in, like, retrospect, how dirty it was. How dirty it was, like, and it was pretty sad too now looking back as well. But yeah, coming to San Francisco, and, like, the three bin mechanism was, like, I adopted, like, a new way of, like, sorting my trash. Sorting and trash was never, like, something I would ever imagine putting two pieces together.
Right.
It was always just one piece. And so, yeah, I would say SF has definitely had a big impact in, like, how I behave in terms of, like, trash. which is right. such a interesting topic, because I also kind of see it bleed into, like, my personal life, too.
Mm.
Right. Like, very trashy, but, like, let's sort it out.
Okay.
So, right. less okay. trashy.
We're going to quote you on that.
No, right. No.
That's real, though, because even in, like, different states, because when I used to live in Arkansas, they only had one trash, too. And it wasn't, like, green or anything. It was gray. So we would all, like, put it in one trash bin.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was a culture shock for me, too, because, you know, growing up, like, sorting your trash, and then as an adult, you move to a different state. And that was one thing. I was like, where's the compost bin?
Right.
I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's unique to grow up in a city that tries to implement such measures,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, you all are sharing, going out of the city or the state, it's completely different. I feel like it's something I'm used to or I've grown accustomed to,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm curious to know is, like, when you started getting the hang of things, was it a difficult switch for you to make to get in the habit of sorting?
Oh, my gosh. Most definitely no, because it was, and I'm going to, like, call myself out, too. Like, I literally did not know the difference between, like, recycling compost and, like, the regular, what's it, the black trash can?
Landfill.
Landfill, thank you. I was very, like, I don't know, like, what, this is a lot of effort for me to, like, do. I feel like I'm doing homework now, like, with this, and as time passed by, like, I was really, and I learned much more about, like, the waste issues and, like, the way things were handled regarding waste was just really impactful, and I sort of developed, I developed that change more meaningfully and more purposefully, to the point now where I have, like, 3 different trash bins in my room that, like, I sort them out. Yeah, I really took effort, and because I really wanted to get into it. And I think this is where the role of, like, education comes into play for me, because honestly, if it wasn't for, like, learning about these things and, like, the education, the topics and just learning in general about, like, waste management, I would have not have developed this shift from, like, not caring about, like, what happens with the waste to, like, caring about it.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting, too, that you bring up, like, education, because I'm one of those people where I'll literally stand at the different bins, and I'm, like, trying to look at the picture to see where my waste goes.
Right.
Because I don't have it memorized.
No.
I'm thankful for the reminders. Too. But I'll be like, oh, but, you know, my plate has sauce on it. Can I still put it in recycling?
Exactly.
Like, all I know is food waste goes in the compost. That's the only thing that I know. But, yeah, I'm trying to get better in practicing it.
We're all the same here. It's. I'm with there, right there with you.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Excuse me. I remember back then in, like, 5th grade. crazy that I can remember that far.
Right.
No, because I feel like I remember that people that were working in waste management, they actually came to classrooms and they actually taught everybody about what goes in what. And that's the only reason why I have no trouble sorting my trash. Well, along with, you know, my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I don't know. I remember getting that. I don't know. But yeah, that was just a thought I had.
Just a quick question. Was this in Arkansas or, like, back
in California? No, this was in Cali.
Oh, wow.
So this was when I was going to Monroe Elementary, but they were really on top of it when it came to teaching students how to sort their trash.
I mean, even with that, like, the staff members of waste management programs coming into the schools like that, I think that's such a positive. I'm not sure
right.
if they still do that, but I definitely think it's something that should be put back into place.
Yeah.
For sure. And then I think of the jobs that come from
exactly
waste management facilities, you know, because like not everything can be operated by machines. Like,
right.
They're not as efficient as we are.
Right. And I feel like there's a whole bunch of careers that you can develop
for sure.
Just from like working in waste management.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a whole lot of moving pieces, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's also good for those who are, like, looking for internships.
Exactly.
Or even just those that are looking for careers.
Yeah. And it's like, we don't really give a lot of recognition to the folks in these positions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I know damn sure we would recognize a world without them.
Right.
For sure.
Which is crazy.
And it's so crazy, like, thinking about the jobs, too. Like, I think about the kind of stereotypes that are put against like people working in waste management. It's just like, oh, this is like a trashy job. Like no one would want that. Like, but you know damn well, like you need that.
So
it's just really interesting to see how like these waste management and the topic in general is just like such a two-way street sort of conversation.
Yeah.
Sort of like people diminishing it, but like it's such a necessary
function of society.
Yeah, I've been thinking that about like a whole lot of different careers, like especially bus drivers.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of buses, I do know that Muni has certain lines that are like environmentally friendly.
Yes.
Or it says it like on the back of the bus. Could you say more? Because I'm not too familiar.
I have been on the 29 is the bus that I've been on that has been, I think it's like a pilot thing that they're testing out.
Mm-hmm.
These buses are like, they emit zero emissions, so like they don't contribute to greenhouse gases.
Okay.
There was a couple, it's much more nicer and spacious, I will say that, in the new zero emission buses. There's a lot more space and it's the layout and like just the design of the bus in general. Now I'm getting to like more design stuff. I don't know. It was just really admirable to like see something like that. Like especially for buses and like transportation in general, it's just like such a huge asset to like climate change and like that whole world.
No, that's real because Muni has a whole lot of
lines.
Yeah,
right? Absolutely.
And the fact that they need multiple buses for a certain line, right? I feel like that's good because I wonder how that's going to change or like how we're going to be able to see that impact. Yeah.
For you, Bai, I wanted to ask, and I don't know if this is a great question, but do you feel like the air is better on those buses, the environmentally friendly ones?
Mm.
That is actually a really good question. Now that I'm like recalling it, it was a lot more better, actually.
Like crisper.
Crisper.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It was very crisp. I don't know. Maybe it's like, because I know there was like a huge engine in the back of like the regular Muni buses, and like now it's just like flat. And I don't know, maybe like I'm not a like an engineer, or it just feels a lot more breathable in that bus, honestly.
And that's exactly what we want.
No, for real. Cause
to the max.
I know the 29's always packed too.
It's always packed, yeah.
And it's like elderly children too. And
right.
I feel like those are the populations I worry the most about.
Exactly.
Or even like immunocompromised people who are those who have like asthma.
Yeah.
You don't need to be breathing that stuff while you're on Muni.
Exactly.
Right.
So with these zero emission buses, like, I'm not going to lie, I appreciate it. I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something that's been needed.
It's a really great step forward to like just reducing a lot of harmful things.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And low-key, the design of it all, like the sleek bus.
Right.
It's kind of giving.
No,
it's
really does. Giving. It really does.
I appreciate things like that too. Like when it comes to waste management, about like revamping spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that because, well, for me, like, I'll feel better, like, you know, like going out or just like being in my space in general if I look good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the same way about my space too. Like, I can't really function in a room that, you know, that I need to, like, upkeep. If it's messy in my room, I feel like I get hella anxiety from it.
Right.
So that's why I appreciate things like that, like things that look good and spaces that are upkept.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I think in terms of transportation, I also think of the amount of electric vehicles that exist within San Francisco and, like, the different charging stations that are kind of geared towards those folks.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie, the charging stations, sometimes they piss me off because I'm thinking it's a parking, but really it's meant for speak on it. But all that to say, in terms of EVs or electric vehicles, I've been seeing a lot more as of lately. And my mom, she has a Toyota Sienna.
Mm-hmm.
This is not sponsored, by the way.
Speak on it.
But it's a hybrid car, so it runs off of both gas and, like, electric power.
What?
Yeah, so in terms of gas, because it makes the switch between the two, it's better, like, for your gas. You don't have to fill up as frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Versus my car, I have a Honda CR-V. Again, not sponsored. But I have to fill up, like, every week and a half.
That's nuts.
But with my mom's car, it's like 2-3 weeks she could go without going to the gas station.
Which is convenient.
Right.
For, you know, like the individual.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
I'm wondering, because I don't know much about electric vehicles, so.
Me neither.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But I'm guessing that it's, I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, how that impacts, you know, the environment or climate change.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think it's, or what I like to believe, it's similar to the whole muni bus thing in terms of emissions. So if you're not burning gas, you're not emitting toxins into the environment. Thank you.
Exactly. Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. I learned something new today.
You're so welcome. But bye. I don't think I'm familiar with, like, the transportation system out in Samoa. So, like, do you guys or did you guys have buses?
Yes, we did. Oh, my gosh. That was, like, our main, that, at least for my family, because we did not have a car for the longest time. And so, like, the public transportation back in Samoa was, like, our only way around the island.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that was a big culture shock for me, too, like, the bus system here in the city. But let me get back to Samoa real quick. Yeah, it was, the buses back home are made out of wood.
Oh.
So, like, they take, I mean, the body, the long body part of the buses are made out of wood. So, like, they would take the front part of a car, specifically, like, a truck or, like, something, an engine that has something bigger. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm not a, like, a automotive person, but yeah, they take the front portion of the car and they sort of, like, build this, like, plank behind that, and
like a platform.
Yeah, a platform, thank you. And they would create this, like, whole structure of, like, a bus, and it would be all made out of wood. The seats would be made out of wood.
Oh.
Right. And I don't even know how to, like, further explain this bus. It's just, like, such a, like, sophisticated but not sophisticated, like, very, very island life type of. I'm sorry, this is such a bad description, but, it was a very, it got us around. That's all I'm going to say. And you would have to pay. The bus fares were, like, 25. I think now they raise it to 50 cents for, like, students. And, like, adults were, like, $1. Yeah. And the bus, one thing I would say about those buses is that they are very, they're very tricky. They there are like designated bus stops around the island, and sometimes, I'm sorry, there are designated bus stops around the island, but they would not stop at the bus stops. You would have to like call the bus stops. You know how like in New York you would like, hey, taxi, like with your hand?
Yes.
That's exactly what you do with the buses.
Oh, that's
back
crazy.
In Samoa. And they were very greedy. Oh my gosh. Like after high after school, the bus drivers would not stop for students because they don't like 25 cents. They don't like a 25 cents.
They want to make more revenue.
Yeah,
from,
they
like,
want to make more revenue.
Adults.
And a lot of the buses are privatized. So they're owned by families and. Yeah, there's not like a public, there's no public transportation that's operated by the government. All of the bus routes are like, I mean, the buses are privatized. So it was really like a greedy situation. And there's, I believe there's been like some cases, at least my cousin, her mom like tried to sue the bus company, but like, bigger money they have, and it was just like not happening. The lawsuit was just not going to happen. It was just like, yeah. But yeah, you would have to stop the bus by yourself. And that's why when I, it was, oh my gosh. And it was such an embarrassment when the bus wouldn't stop because, like, mind you, there's just like one road in Samoa around the entire island. And so everyone is driving on that one road.
Right.
Mm. And like, if you're at a bus stop by yourself and like, you try to stop a bus and you see your cousin like drive by and the bus does not stop, you're just like, you're gonna have to wait for another one. And they don't tell you, it doesn't, you don't have a, like, you
a
know
way
how
of
the
tracking.
Apple app,
yeah,
when the next bus is gonna come.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like a waiting game.
It's just,
you would
guess.
Have to wait. Yeah, you would have to guess when the next bus would come.
That's so unfortunate.
It was so unfortunate. And I swear to God, when I came to SF, and discovered the public transportation here, I fell in love immediately. Like, I found me the one, like, literally. Like, it was so perfect. And then seeing going on Apple Maps, this is my first time ever using Apple Maps to, like, seeing that I can know when the next bus is coming. Oh, my gosh. I felt like my life was aligning.
Yeah, that's so convenient, too.
So convenient. And, yeah, I just have a deeper appreciation for, like, the public transportation here in the city. It's just, like, top tier.
Mm. Period. You know, I think it's very fascinating, like, when you hear about someone's migration stories, there are certain things that you don't really think of. And you've shared, like, your experience with transit, but also waste management.
Right.
And I don't know, like, hearing you talk about the differences in the way of life from Samoa to here, I'm just like, dang, like, your experiences are so valid, first and foremost. But also, like, I'm just so thankful to have space to be in conversation with you, the Talanoa, with each other.
Right.
Now, speaking of space, something that I thought about while we were in conversation is that when you have better waste management practices in place, it also frees up space for, like, parks or green areas or even community centers. And I think that has to do with the maintenance aspect that you were talking about, Hifo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was, I can't remember exactly where it is, but I know for sure it's in the city, that there is, like, a vacant lot. And, you know, I guess people in the community wanted it to be cleared. And after a few years, it did get cleared. And I guess they made a community garden out of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's, like, a little community garden. And I remember visiting it on a field trip when I was younger. And I think that was when I was truly aware what waste management was. And that was my first ever experience with it. But yeah, that's my take on it.
Period.
Oh my gosh, that was beautiful. yeah, I, honestly, the parks and the recreational spaces in the city are, like, unmatched. I don't know if I can, like, testify because I haven't been any other place, but I feel like the city, like, has just really done its big one on, like, the parks and the public community spaces that are available to the public. Mm-hmm. I think for such a high density area, like, it is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a really good thing to see. Back on the island, I believe there's only like a couple of spaces that are very limited. But then again, like, the island is an island, and like everything over there is green. It's like a big, it's like a big park, honestly. So, just have everyone, like, yeah, it's just, everyone has their own big backyard too, so it's just like right there for you. But yeah, I think it was really interesting that you brought up, like, when you first, like, really understood the topic of, like, waste management. Honestly, I'm thinking back to when I first, like, realized what waste management was. And there, back in the island, there's a company called ASPA. And so they're called the American Samoa, oh my gosh.
Protection Agency?
No. Oh. Power Authority.
Power Authority. Oh.
Right. I believe that's the EPA.
yes, you're right.
But yeah, ASPA, they have every, like, holiday, specifically on Christmas, they would have, like, this huge, like, thing where people would, they would have a can drive, and, like, would bring all their cans, and, like, they would upcycle them and, like, create, like, these big Christmas trees, and they were, like, really huge, and, like, the whole island would come out to see it, and, like, it was such a beautiful thing to see when I was, like, little. I was like, whoa, those are, like, the soda cans that I drank. Like, what is that? Santa, like, he's made out of it right now. And it was just really cool. And I think that's when I really started to understand that, like, yeah, the topic of waste management and how things can be, like, upcycled and, like,
repurposed.
Repurposed into, like, something beautiful.
I feel like talking about this with you all today, it makes me think of I think they're a community organization, but just over the hill next to Crocker Park, Hummingbird Farms. I had to volunteer there. Yeah, I had to volunteer there for class, or I had the pleasure of volunteering there for class. But something that really resonated with me and made me very grateful for the experience is the fact that they utilize their own food compost and waste within their soil to, like, return nutrients into the earth and be mindful of, like, their own waste management.
Oh, beautiful.
And mind you, it's also similar to, like, a community garden as well, because they are, you know, planting things. But I had the opportunity to put the composted soil into the bed. And, you know, I was just doing it because I was like, oh, they asked me to do it. Let me just do it. But then they were like, this is the first time we're ever using our own soil to grow our food. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I feel so honored to be in this space. And, you know, I shared with them, like, I work at SCDC. And, you know, I've lived in District 10 for over 10 years of my life. And then they were like, well, this is the community, or a person raised in the community giving back to their community. Saying how, like, that was an act of service for me. And I'm like, no, please. But with that being said, I think it's super dope that we even have organizations or groups of people that are so passionate about land stewardship,
right,
that they tackle these big ideas of, like, waste management and how to put those better practices into your everyday life, and also how it can help us with our future.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyways.
No, that was beautiful. No, I'm literally thinking back right now of, like, the youth back in Samoa who are also doing like amazing work, ground laying the groundwork for like the future and their future essentially. I was part of this nonprofit organization back in Samoa called Finafinau, which is the Samoan term for resilience. And so going off of that, like, it was just really empowering to see or to be a part like of a space essentially where our youth were taking hone of their future and like tapping into like ancestral practices. I know a lot of the times like we can really be caught up in like the new Western colonized. Put that on there. The colonized way, the Western way of like how things should be taken care of and how things should be managed essentially. And being a part of that nonprofit, learning from our elders about how they tended the land, how they stewarded the ocean, it was one of those moments where it was like, oh my gosh, like I feel like the torch is being passed to me right now. Yeah. And like even more better that it was like a just all Pacifica students and like the next generation who was gonna like take care of the land.
Yeah.
Take care of the land was really I love that. I loved it so much. And like it was nice. I mean, being also that like our islands, the Pacific region in general, is just like one of the most vulnerable to like climate change and a lot of the waste, not having a lot of like resources to help the resources to like, actually, no, I'm not going to say that. We have a lot of resources that are being taken advantage of by the Western people. I'm going to speak on that, right? And and I think it's really important that we, like, really let our youth know that and understand that they are important aspects to carrying, essentially, our ancestors forward.
All right. We're going to get into the clock it portion of the podcast. Where we get to dive into the negative impacts of waste management. I would like to start because I remember you mentioning about, you know, overfilled
trash bins.
Right. Yeah, trash bins. And I feel like that's something that I always see in D10. And the space I'm specifically talking about is 3rd Street. So one thing that I'll always see, no matter which block, is an overfilled trash can, which I feel like doesn't make sense because my trash gets taken out on a weekly basis, right? And I feel like at the same time, you know, in a place where the public, like, you know, we're always walking up and down 3rd, right? I feel like, you know, public spaces should either have more trash bins in the area or, you know, have a system where every trash can is taken care of, right?
Right.
Absolutely. And in terms of, like, overburdened waste facilities, it's interesting to see a connection, despite being, like, I think this is wrong, but, like, 5,000 miles away between Samoa and San Francisco, the fact that we're located in different places of the world, but yet we share this same struggle issue.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
However, the way that they're being addressed is also different.
Right.
And I know, Bai, you were talking about land stewardship and, you know, the youth aspect of that. Thank you, by the way.
Right.
But something that I'd like to clock is that I don't personally think the folks in our generation are so serious about you know, climate change and caring about their waste, because there's multiple times on campus. I go to San Francisco State University. But there's been multiple times on campus where I've seen grown folks, like, around my age, above my age, toss their trash on the floor.
At this big age?
At this big age.
Speak on it.
And I'm like, And, oh, you know, I'm a pretty vocal person, especially with something like that.
Right.
So whenever I see it happen, I'm like, oh, so we can't throw away our trash now?
Speak on it.
I've seen her do it in person.
Yeah, no. But
rightfully
it's like,
so. Thank you.
Right.
It's not even that difficult to A, hold on to your trash until you pass the trash can, B, walk a couple steps to the trash can, or C, just don't litter.
Right.
Don't litter. How can we teach our future generations these practices if we're not doing it ourselves?
Right.
Clock it.
Clock that.
Clock it.
And as, or to your point by about, you know, ancestral practices being implemented, mm-hmm. I feel like we have this understanding, we inherit the generation before us, their problems.
Right.
But it's definitely up to us on how we address it. Mm. However, and this is where, like, the lack of education and awareness comes in. Mm. If we don't know what we're dealing with or how we can tackle it, it's not going to get folks interested until it's, air quotes, too late.
Right. And I feel like that's just an example of blissful ignorance.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like blindly just not being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, is there anything you want to add on?
I'm just thinking about like what my mom would say. Like if they act like that out in public, I can only imagine what their house looks like.
Right. Clock it.
And so it's just, to your point as well about like education and like educating people on like these really important topics, or it's just necessary for people to, or education to be in place. And I think right now with the political climate as well, with like all the, I don't know if you guys are aware about like that the current administration is trying to cut the Department of Education out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just really like, we're just going to have so much uninformed people as well. So it's just like trying to find that balance, or knowing that there's people out there who still want to educate and who are doing the right, who have manners, who have decorum. Right.
Right.
I think we should honestly develop what you have, like clocking them.
Okay.
What really needs to be done, because if your mom is not going to tell you, someone's going to tell you.
Right.
Spoke.
Yeah. Right.
But I feel like that's also why when we were talking about developing this episode, you came to mind, because I know you mentioned in the beginning you want to, or you're studying, like in the environmental studies department. Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. But like it just meant so much to see one of our Pacifica people, who's also Tay.
Right.
Seeing there's a problem, one that, as you mentioned, affects the Pacific first and foremost, and wanting to do something about it. Like, you are the embodiment of resilience. And, you know, we see that. We see that for you. We're clocking that in a positive way.
Well, thank you, guys. I literally cannot take any. I think me doing this, or honestly, my passion for this, started from getting educated on a topic, honestly.
Right.
I think for the growing up on the island, I wasn't honestly aware about like anything affecting it, climate change. Like I had no understanding of what that was at all up until like my senior year of high school, which was like 2 years ago. it's insane to think about. Educating myself and learning about like the negative impacts that were, or that are and are coming to our islands, really just instilled in me just like this fire that like, oh, this isn't gonna be the narrative for my people. Like, you're not gonna have this last say for us. What? Like, our people made, God damn it, they traveled the entire world. Like, we're gonna make it. And it's in our blood. It's in our ancestry. It's the tapestry that our ancestors have paid for us. And honestly, what I'm doing is just trying to continue that forward and making sure that we're all gonna be safe. Right. And for me personally, in many ways, like, built me up emotionally, physically, mentally. I'm just reinforces a lot of my purpose and, like, my journey in this world as, like, a Pacifica person, a Tay person at that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Okay. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's things like this that, like, really boost it. So.
Period.
Clocking. Not clocking. Speaking. Uplifting y'all as well.
I'm curious to know, when you guys think of an advocate for environmental justice in this day and age, what do you guys think about?
Oh my gosh, I already got a name on my head.
I got my name. Oh, okay, go ahead, bye.
Brianna Fruin is the first name that pops into my head when I think of, honestly, if I had a superpower, I'm so alert. If I were to name my superpower, it would be Brianna Fruin, okay. Girl.
Why does it sound like a nameplate on Beyonce and Rihanna?
It's my God, wait. Brianna, wait, that's actually real. Oh, I love that.
But can you say more about Brianna?
Yeah, I feel so. Brianna Fruin is a climate activist for the Pacific regions. She's... Pacific region renowned, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and she on the way to be world renowned. Like,
I know that.
Love her so much. I think she's actually here in the States right now. Right. Oh. I'm not too.
Meet and greet?
Oh, right. But yeah, she's a climate activist. I believe she's part of a organization in the Pacific called Pacific Climate Warriors. That organization touches all fields of, like, the environment with climate change and, like, the fossil fuel industry. Mm-hmm. They're really big advocates for cutting out fossil fuels and, like, holding accountable, like, the people who are responsible for admitting who are contributing to fossil fuels and in particular affecting the Pacific region. And so they're really advocates who have strongly voiced their opinions about our people and how this is going to affect our people in the future. And Brianna Fruin was my first picture of, like, an environmental baddie. I don't say that. I don't know how else to put it, but
Brianna, if you're listening, Brianna, to this, environmental make way, baddie. Make way. Stop. But all that to say, sorry, Hifo, could you share yours if any?
I can't. I don't.
Yes. Okay, clock that.
I need to clock that about myself because I don't know many people, even like PIs, that are, you know, in that field of advocacy.
So in this generation, the person I thought of was also Brianna because I did hear she was in the States. So yes. I was kind of like looking into her more and I was like, she's dope. She's hella dope. But if I were to look at the past or not too far back, but I also think of how Nani K. Trask, right? But I don't know, like, if we were to look back even further, I am sure that there is at least one Pacifica climate activist the line, which tells me that, like you said, it's in our blood.
Exactly.
It's written in the stars for us that we've always been advocates for environmental justice.
Yeah.
So when I'm thinking of, like, waste management, it frustrates me that people aren't getting on board. Like, there are folks that are really questioning, like, oh, is this real? Or is this something that we really have to care about? Like,
yeah,
there shouldn't be a hesitation.
Right. And I feel like it's the folks that are really looking at the waste in their area and they're just like, it's fine.
Yes.
That makes me, I'm just like, how is this fine? Yeah. Because if that was on my bed, I wouldn't be happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be happy either.
Right.
Yeah, and even when you think of waste management facilities, I had did a quick search last night to see where they're located. Mm-hmm. There's like five or six within District 10 alone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, speak on it, Bai. What you got?
No, this is like where racism comes in. Oh. I'm going to clock that right there.
Okay.
It's just really sad to, when I was learning about like the history of redlining and like white flight and all that, it's just really interesting how injustice can literally, it bleeds into so many areas that we don't even like, we haven't even realized yet. And yeah, so seeing how, yeah, I'm sorry, learning about how a lot of, I believe, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting what that word is, where like projects, are that what, mm-hmm. is that what they're called? Projects, where the projects are located have been just like a historical place for where landfills have been close located to. Mm-hmm. And I honestly had to take some time, or not take some, I had to really go out and see for myself about what this was all about, and like comparing like the marina to like the Sunnydale district. It was really like such an eye-opening thing to see. Sorry, is it Sunnydale? Isn't that a district?
No? I think it's just neighborhood.
Neighborhood?
Yeah. Or the Sunnydale projects.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
No, you're good. And, you know, for those who aren't aware, redlining is a historically, like, discriminatory practice mm-hmm. in which certain services were withheld from neighborhoods that were populated with ethnic minorities.
Mm. Right, that part.
And I think you bring a really good point that redlining, I'm not sure how far back it existed, but we're still seeing the effects of it today.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, for those who do live in close proximity to these waste management facilities, like, how is their health? What are the health effects that come from it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's anything positive.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, on 3rd, there is a human waste facility management facility.
Oh, wow.
You get my drift on human waste?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know why, but in the 8th grade, we took a tour there. I'm very grateful for the experience, but my nose was not.
Oh, my gosh.
But when I got to see the behind the scenes of what these workers, you know, experience day in and day out, for one, I couldn't imagine living 1,000 feet within the premises.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let alone, you know, being next door. And then also, like, again, giving flowers to those people in these spaces that are working day in and day out. I don't know if they're, like, nose blind or they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's real.
Oh, yeah. I hope one of them does a, like, a Day in My Life TikTok or something. I'm serious.
Can you imagine?
I love watching those because it gives me an experience of, like, I'm in your shoes.
And, you know, it's crazy, too, because on TikTok, because I know for a fact we all be on that app.
Right.
We do see day in our lives for different professions, like, you know, a dental hygienist or a hairstylist. We don't see, like, these folks represented in the waste management industry.
Mm.
So if y'all got, like, a cousin, uncle, you know, sibling, sister, mom.
I want to know.
Let them know. They could go viral.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me 6 more years and I'll be on there.
Okay.
Day in My Life.
Right.
With Bai.
Right.
Okay.
Keeping it classy and picking up track.
That's okay. All right. Before we close out, let's take a step back and really look at the bigger picture of waste management in District 10. It's not just about what we throw away. It's also about jobs, health, community, and the future of our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to break it down one last time with a recap of the good, the bad, and what it looks like for us moving forward. Some of the positive impacts that we touched base on are job creation, cleaner neighborhoods, the empowerment of the community, and even climate action. Some of the negatives that we were talking about are service reductions or environmental inequality and limited access that can also impact community health. At the end of the day, taking care of our neighborhood is about looking out for each other, just like we do in our Pacifica communities.
Exactly.
It's not just about trash. It's about keeping our spaces clean, keeping our people healthy, and making sure that the future generation has a place that they are proud to call home.
All right, it's time for my favorite part of the podcast, which we like to call
Stand on Business,
where we challenge our listeners to do a small action. So it's kind of like a challenge that we give our listeners every week to kind of, you know, it's kind of like a call to action kind of challenge.
It helps get them involved with everything we're speaking on.
Yes. So the challenge that we have for each of you this week is to make one small change in your daily routine to become more environmentally conscious. So a good example would be like, you know, switching from a single-use plastic water bottle to a reusable and reliable one. I would suggest a hydro flask, but that's because I want one. So
I have one too, girl. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Is it because I really want one?
And this isn't helping that I have a water bottle either. On the table. But
yes, that
I'm going to recycle that.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Right.
But yes, that's our challenge for this week. You can go ahead and share your efforts on Instagram. Be sure to tag us at bigper_sf with the hashtag speak it into existence.
And because we have a guest with us, will also be challenging Bai to participate.
Yes.
And we will share his call to action or his response to the call to action on our Instagram story. So Bai, please.
Right.
Be ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Right. Right. Stay ready.
Right.
Before we close out, we want to give space for our guest Bai to share any final thoughts. Bai?
Oh my gosh. There's so many takeaways from this session today with y'all. But I think one term that I want to finish off with from today is reciprocity. I think with the subject of waste management, and like you were to your point earlier about like, and to your point as well, Hifo, both of y'all's points about like how when things are clean, you feel clean as well. And I think that relates a lot to waste management about like, when you see a clean area, you feel so much more better. And I just feel a lot of reciprocity today in general. So, thank you guys for this amazing opportunity. It's so, so inspiring. Literally, when you told me that y'all had a podcast, I was like, oh, okay. So it's really up with our community.
Right.
Speak on it.
Right.
So, I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And, the call to action, that was a beautiful call to action. Our people we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to survive.
Right.
Yeah. Keep it clean, y'all. Speak on it. Spoke. Thank you.
That's a wrap for today. Make sure you keep tuning in and check out the rest of our season. It's all up and ready for you. Just hit play. Once again, I'm Adri.
And I'm Hifo.
And this is our guest,